A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it is deeply practical. He's found that AI-assisted purchase research has a near-perfect hit rate for him, from a vertical mouse to height-adjustable desk legs, and he wants to know how to systematize that. The cool question is, how do you structure a product spec prompt so the AI returns exactly what you want, instead of what the affiliate content internet wants you to buy? And how do you handle the data freshness problem and regional availability? Because a perfect product that only ships to Nebraska is useless if you're in Jerusalem.
This is one of those areas where AI genuinely outperforms everything that came before it, and the reason is counterintuitive. Most people think AI is bad at factual tasks because it hallucinates. But product research is different. It's a constraint satisfaction problem with dozens of dimensions, and AI is exceptionally good at holding all those dimensions in its head at once. A human salesperson can juggle maybe 3 or 4 requirements before they start dropping things. An AI can handle 30.
Which is exactly why the vertical mouse worked. Daniel didn't just say, recommend a mouse. He presumably described his hand size, his grip style, the fact that he wanted vertical orientation, probably a budget, probably a preference about wireless versus wired. And the AI didn't have to skim 8 tabs in cross-reference. It just held the whole spec in context and filtered.
And the contrast with Google is stark. There was a study by The Markup in 2025, a year after Google's big algorithm update that was supposed to nuke affiliate content farms. And they found that 63% of top search results for product queries still contained affiliate links. 63%. The update didn't clean the well. It just rearranged which affiliates got the top spots.
The SEO equivalent of sweeping the dirt under a different rug.
And the average consumer spends about 3.5 hours researching a major purchase across 8 or more tabs according to McKinsey. That's not research. That's triage. You're not evaluating products. You're evaluating which review sites are least obviously bought.
The thesis here is the bottleneck isn't AI capability. It's how we write the spec. And most of us are terrible at it because we've been trained by Google to type 3 words and hope.
That's the episode. Let me walk through the specific example that changed how I think about this, the desk legs.
This is the IKEA failure that prompted the whole investigation. He bought adjustable legs, the kind you twist to change height, and could never get them to match. One corner always sat a millimeter high or low, and on a hardwood floor that meant a wobble that would slowly drive you insane.
Here's the thing. The product he bought wasn't defective. It was exactly what it claimed to be, adjustable threaded legs. The failure was in the spec. He didn't know to specify, must not require manual threading to achieve matching height. He didn't know that locking casters was even a category of caster. He didn't know that gas lift adjustment mechanisms existed for desk legs. The implicit requirements were invisible to him until the product failed.
Which is the central problem of purchase research. You don't know what you don't know you need to specify.
That's where AI flips the script. If you give it enough context about your situation, it can surface those unknown unknowns. It can say, based on your hardwood floor and the fact that you need precise leveling, you probably want legs with independently adjustable feet, not threaded posts. Also, here are 3 options with locking casters rated for your desk's weight.
It can only do that if you tell it about the hardwood floor, which brings us to the framework.
The SPEC framework. SPEC. Situation, preferences, exclusions, constraints.
Sounds like something you'd find in a defense procurement office.
That's exactly where I borrowed it from. Engineering procurement has been doing this for decades, writing formal specifications that vendors bid against. The difference is we're adapting it for consumer use, and the vendor is an AI that's searching across the entire internet.
Walk me through it. Start with S.
Situation is the context of use. For the desk legs, it's not just, I need adjustable legs. My desk is 160 centimeters wide, it's made of walnut veneer over particle board, it weighs about 40 kilos empty and up to 55 with equipment. It sits on hardwood flooring in a room with some direct sunlight. The current legs are fixed height and I want to be able to switch between sitting and standing. That situation. The AI now knows the physical world the product has to live in.
If you skip that, it might recommend legs rated for 30 kilos, or legs with feet that will scratch hardwood, or legs whose metallic finish clashes with walnut.
All of which happened in the IKEA failure. The threaded legs had small, hard plastic feet that left divots in the wood. Nobody mentioned the floor type in the original search, so nobody filtered for that.
P is preferences.
This is where you rank desires, and the ranking matters enormously. Must-have locking casters is different from would prefer gas lift adjustment, but threaded is acceptable if it has a locking mechanism. You're giving the AI a priority hierarchy. In natural language, you can just say high priority. Locking casters on all four legs, each rated for at least 75 kilos static load. Medium priority, gas lift height adjustment with a range of at least 15 centimeters. Low priority, matching walnut finish, but black or dark gray metal is acceptable.
You're not just listing features, you're weighting them, which lets the AI make trade-offs when no product has everything.
And this is where most people's prompts fall apart. They list 20 must-haves, the AI finds zero products that match all 20, and it either returns nothing or starts silently dropping constraints. If you tell it which constraints are soft, it can tell you, I found a product that hits all your high priority items and two of three medium priority items. The trade-off is that the finish is only available in black. The must-not-haves. This is the section that would have saved the IKEA purchase. Must-not require manual threading to match leg heights. Must-not have fixed position feet that can't be independently micro-adjusted. Must-not use plastic components in the load-bearing adjustment mechanism.
The AI doesn't know you want to avoid those things, unless you say so. It assumes you're neutral on threading versus gas lift, unless you express a preference or an exclusion.
The exclusion section is also where you block entire categories. No products from brands with a known history of discontinued parts. No products that require proprietary tools for adjustment. No products where the casters can't be replaced with standard M8 threaded stem casters.
That last one is the kind of thing you only learn to specify after the first failed purchase.
Which is why the framework includes an iteration loop. But we'll get to that. C is constraints.
Budget, geography, timeline.
These have to be brutally specific. Not affordable, under 400 shekels, including shipping. Not available in Israel. Must ship to Israel with delivery within 14 days, or be available from a local distributor with confirmed stock. Flag any product that requires a freight forwarder.
The Israel constraint is a real one. Daniel's mentioned this before. So many AI recommendations fall apart at the shipping address.
That's where the regional variability problem gets acute. An AI trained on mostly US data will happily recommend products from American retailers that either don't ship internationally or charge more in shipping than the product costs. You have to bake the geography into the constraints explicitly, and you should also include it in a system prompt so it persists across the whole session.
What does that system prompt look like?
Something like, assume the user is in Israel. Only recommend products available with local shipping or through official Israeli distributors. For any product that requires international shipping, flag it explicitly and estimate the total landed cost including shipping, VAT, and customs. Prefer products available on Israeli e-commerce platforms. If a product is only available on Amazon US, check whether it ships to Israel before recommending.
That alone probably eliminates two-thirds of bad recommendations before the AI even starts searching.
And the budget constraint needs similar precision. Under 400 shekels is fine, but you might also add, I am willing to stretch to 500 if the product is dramatically better on the high priority preferences. That gives the AI permission to show you a stretch option without ignoring your budget entirely.
Let's see the before and after. What did the original DeskLabe prompt look like versus what it became with SPEC A?
The original was probably something like, find adjustable desk legs with wheels that I can use for a standing desk conversion. That's it. That's what most people type.
Google would return a page of affiliate listicles titled 10 Best Adjustable Desk Legs in 2026.
every single one of which would have been written by someone who's never assembled a desk. The SPEC version is more like, situation, I have a desk that is 160 centimeters wide by 80 deep, walnut veneer, approximately 45 kilograms loaded weight on hardwood flooring. I want to convert it to a sit-stand desk by replacing the fixed legs with height-adjustable ones. Preferences, high priority, must have locking casters rated for at least 70 kilograms each, must allow height adjustment without tools, must include independent micro-adjustment on each foot for floor leveling. Medium priority, gas lift mechanism preferred over threaded, black, or dark gray finish to complement walnut, at least 20 centimeters of height adjustment range. Low priority, matching walnut finish, cable management clips. Exclusions, no threaded post designs where height matching requires manual twisting, no fixed casters without locks, no plastic load-bearing components, no brands with a history of parts discontinuation. Constraints, budget 400 shekels, must ship to Israel within 2 weeks, prefer local distributors.
That's maybe 200 words, and it would return what?
In the actual case, it returned exactly one product that hit every high and medium priority, with the trade-off being the low-priority cable management. Not 10 pages of results.
Which is what you actually want. You don't want options. You want the option.
That's the paradigm shift. We've been trained to think more results equals better search. But for purchasing, the ideal outcome is a single recommendation that fits your constraints so precisely that the decision makes itself.
We've got the SPEC framework down, but there's a catch, and it's the one that almost derailed the whole desk leg search, the data freshness problem.
This is where it gets interesting. AI training data is frozen at some cutoff date. If you ask a base model for product recommendations without any real-time search integration, it's working from whatever was in its training corpus, which might be 12 to 18 months old. Products get discontinued. Retailers stop shipping to certain regions. A perfect recommendation from training data might be completely unavailable in the real world.
Daniel's solution was to integrate a search API like EXA.
EXA is fascinating. It indexes over a billion web pages with structured metadata. So it's not just keyword matching. It actually understands that a page is a product listing with a price and an availability status. You can query it for height-adjustable desk legs with locking casters available in Israel under 400 shekels, and it returns actual current listings, not SEO spam.
How do you integrate that into a prompt workflow?
There are a few approaches. The cleanest is to have the AI first generate a search query from your SPEC prompt, then run that through EXA, then synthesize the results back into a recommendation. You can do this manually. Write your spec, ask the AI to extract the key search parameters, paste those into EXA, then feed the results back to the AI. Or you can use a tool that chains these steps automatically. Perplexity's online mode does something similar, though with less structured metadata.
The workflow becomes, write the SPEC prompt, let the AI parse it into search terms, query real-time data, then have the AI evaluate current products against the original constraints.
That evaluation step is critical. The AI needs to explain its reasoning. I found three products that match your high-priority constraints. Product A hits everything but is 50 shekels over budget. Product B is within budget, but the casters are only rated for 60 kilograms, slightly below your 70 kilogram requirement. Product C is perfect on specs but only ships from Germany with a 3-week delivery time. Here's my recommendation and why.
That transparency lets you override the AI's judgment. You might decide the 60 kilogram casters are fine because your actual load is only 45.
Which brings us to the iterative refinement loop. Your first prompt won't be perfect. And that's fine, the framework expects iteration.
How do you structure the feedback?
You treat the AI's first recommendation as a draft. Find what it missed or got wrong. Then feed that back in the same structured format. That product is out of stock at the Israeli distributor. Please rerun with the same spec constraints but add two exclusions. Products not currently in stock at verified Israeli retailers. Or, the casters on that recommendation don't lock in both directions. Add to preferences high priority, casters must lock both rotation and swivel.
Each iteration tightens the spec. By round 3, you've usually got something that fits.
Here's the thing. This iteration takes maybe 5 minutes per round. Compare that to the 3.5 hours the average consumer spends across 8 taps. You're getting a better result in a fraction of the time.
Let's talk about the input method, because Daniel raised a good point. Typing a 200-word spec is tedious. Voice dictation changes the economics.
Voice typing averages about 150 words per minute versus 40 for typing. That means you can dump a full SPEC prompt in about 90 seconds of talking. The friction drops so low that you're actually willing to be exhaustive.
Dictating structure is tricky. You mean to signal sections somehow.
You use punctuation commands. Most voice dictation systems support them. My desk is 160 centimeters wide. You speak the structure into existence. It feels a bit stilted at first, but you get used to it within a few attempts. And the alternative is typing preferences, high priority colon with your thumbs, which is the ergonomic equivalent of self-flagellation.
I'd also add, record the voice memo, then spend 2 minutes editing the transcript for structure. Don't try to get it perfect in one pass. Dump everything you can think of verbally, then organize it.
That two-pass approach is exactly right. The first pass is capture. Just get every requirement, preference, and exclusion out of your head. The second pass is structure. Arrange it into the SPEC quadrants, rank the preferences, tighten the language. The whole process takes under 5 minutes.
Let's shift to the CRM example, because it's a completely different category of purchase, and it tests whether SPEC generalizes.
A business CRM is a perfect stress test. It's software, so there's no shipping constraint, but there are a dozen other dimensions: deployment model, integrations, user count, budget, compliance requirements. The free association approach Daniel described, needs contact management, pipeline tracking, email integration, that's a starting point, but it leaves out everything that actually determines whether a CRM will work.
What does the SBEC version look like?
I run a small business with 5 users. We currently manage contacts in a shared spreadsheet and track deals in email threads. We're losing visibility into our pipeline and we're double entering data. Our tech stack is Linux-based. We use Postgres for our database and we self-host everything on our own servers. We need a CRM that integrates with our existing email system, which is Fastmail, not Gmail or Outlook.
Already that eliminates about 90% of CRM recommendations. Most CRMs assume Gmail or Microsoft integration, cloud hosting, and a Windows or Mac environment.
Preferences, high priority, must be self-hosted on Linux, must integrate with Postgres as the primary database, must support email integration with Fastmail via IMAP or API, must include visual pipeline management with drag-and-drop deal stages. Medium priority, open source preferred, REST API for custom integrations, mobile app for deal updates on the go. Low priority, built-in quoting and invoicing, marketing automation features.
Exclusions for a CRM would be interesting.
Must not require a cloud subscription with vendor lock-in for core CRM functions. Must not store customer data on third-party servers outside our jurisdiction. Must not require a Microsoft or Google ecosystem for email integration. Must not exceed $50 per user per month for 5 users, total monthly cost under $250.
The constraint that would catch most people out, the Linux and self-hosting requirement. That's the kind of thing you only think to specify after the AI recommends 3 SaaS products that won't work.
That's exactly what happens. The free association prompt gets back. Salesforce Essentials, HubSpot, Pipey Drive, all perfectly good CRMs that fail on the self-hosting constraint. The SPEC prompt surfaces things like 20, Espo CRM, or Monica, tools that actually fit the environment.
20 is an open source CRM that's been gaining traction, self-hosted, modern interface, Postgres support.
It probably wouldn't appear in the first page of a Google search for best CRM, but it's exactly what the spec calls for. That's the power of constraint-based search. It surfaces the thing that fits rather than the thing that's best marketed.
Let's talk about the "I didn't know I needed to specify that" problem. It keeps coming up.
This is where the AI can actually help you write the spec, not just execute it. Before you even start searching, you can give the AI a rough description and ask, "What am I probably forgetting to specify?" For the desk legs, it might ask, "What type of flooring? What's the loaded weight? Do you need the casters to lock in both directions? Are you in a seismic zone where the desk needs to be anchored?" Questions you wouldn't think to answer until it's too late.
The AI as a requirements elicitation tool. It's reverse engineering your situation from incomplete information and surfacing the gaps.
This works for almost any product category. For headphones, it might ask about your audio source, your typical listening environment, whether you wear glasses, whether you need side tone for calls. For a backpack, it might ask about your torso length, your typical load weight, whether you need a luggage pass-through, whether you're in a rainy climate. These are things that experienced buyers in each category know to ask, but first-time buyers don't.
Step 0, before you even write the SPEC, is to ask the AI, I'm looking for X. What information do you need from me to make a good recommendation?
That meta prompt alone will save you from the most common failure mode, the underspecified prompt that returns a plausible sounding but wrong recommendation.
Let's address a misconception that I think a lot of people hold. They assume AI product recommendations are just regurgitated affiliate links from training data, that the AI is basically a clever clone with better grammar.
That's the cynical take, and it's wrong for a specific reason. When you give an AI a properly structured SPEC prompt with real-time search integration, it's not reciting a review it memorized. It's synthesizing across dozens of sources: product spec sheets, user reviews, forum discussions, compatibility databases, shipping policies, and applying your constraints to that synthesis. It's finding products that don't appear in any single review because no human reviewer has ever evaluated exactly your combination of constraints.
The vertical mouse is a good example. There are probably no reviews titled, Best Vertical Mouse for Someone with Medium Hands Who Uses a Claw Grip and Wants Wireless with USB-C Charging Under 200 Shekels, available in Israel. But the AI can assemble that recommendation from spec sheets, user reviews mentioning hand size, and availability data.
Another misconception, you need to be a prompt engineer to get good results. The SPEC framework is just structured common sense. Anyone can learn it in 10 minutes. S. Describe where and how you'll use the thing. P. Rank what you want, highest to lowest priority. E. List what you absolutely don't want. C. Set your budget, location, and timeline. That's it. That's the framework.
It's basically a more rigorous version of how a good salesperson would interview you, if good salespeople still existed for most product categories.
Which they don't, because the economics of retail have shifted to self-service and algorithmic recommendations that optimize for margin, not fit.
There's a third misconception worth addressing, that more detail always means better results. There's a sweet spot, and you can overshoot.
If you specify 20 hard constraints and no soft ones, you'll often get zero results. The AI can't find a product that doesn't exist. The skill is knowing which constraints are hard. Must ship to Israel is hard, must be black is probably soft. And that's why the priority ranking in the preferences section matters so much. It tells the AI where it has permission to compromise.
I've also seen people get too specific on dimensions. Must be exactly 17.3 centimeters tall, when what they really mean is must fit on a shelf with 17.5 centimeters of clearance. If you specify the clearance rather than the exact height, you give the AI room to find products that work.
That's a great distinction. Specify the requirement, not your guess at the solution. Must fit in a space 17.5 centimeters tall is a requirement. Must be 17.3 centimeters tall is a guess. Let the AI do the solution finding.
We've covered the framework, the data freshness problem, the iteration loop, and the input method. Let me pull out four concrete takeaways for someone who's never tried this approach.
First, always start with the SPEC framework. Write it out before you open the AI chat. Situation, preferences, exclusions, constraints. It takes 5 minutes and it transforms your results from hit or miss to near certain. The structure forces you to think through things you'd otherwise skip.
Second, use voice dictation for the initial spec dump, then edit for structure. The friction of typing leads to underspecified prompts. You'll talk for 90 seconds and produce more useful detail than you'd type in 10 minutes. Then spend 2 minutes organizing the transcript into the four quadrants.
Third, always include a must not have section. The AI will optimize for your stated desires, but it won't know what you're trying to avoid unless you tell it. The IKEA desk leg failure was entirely avoidable with one exclusion. No threaded legs that require manual height matching.
Fourth, build a feedback loop. Treat the AI's first recommendation as a draft, not a final answer. Read it carefully, find what it missed, and feed the correction back in. By round two or three, the spec is tight, and the recommendation is usually right.
I'd add a fifth. Implicit in all of this, ask the AI what you're forgetting before you start. That question alone will catch the unknown unknowns that would otherwise ambush you after purchase.
Where does this leave us? I think we're at the beginning of a fundamental shift in how we shop, from searching to specifying.
The search paradigm is, I'll know it when I see it. The specification paradigm is, I know what I need, now find the thing that fits. And AI is the first technology that can actually execute the specification paradigm at scale across any product category for any set of constraints.
Which raises an open question. Will AI eventually replace product review sites entirely? Or will it create new forms of review fraud, like prompt injection to bias recommendations towards certain brands?
The second one is almost certainly going to happen, if it isn't already. We already saw SEO poisoning for Google results. There will be an equivalent for AI recommendations, product pages and reviews written specifically to match the constraint patterns that AI agents look for. The arms race never ends, it just changes venue.
There's a future implication that I think is under-discussed. As AI agents gain the ability to make purchases autonomously, the skill of writing precise specs becomes even more critical. Your agent can only buy what you can describe. If you're vague about what you want, you're going to get whatever the agent's default assumptions produce, and those defaults might be set by whoever trained the model or whoever paid for placement.
The specification is the new interface to commerce. It's the difference between saying, buy me a good office chair, and getting whatever Amazon's algorithm thinks has the best margin, versus describing your height, weight, sitting habits, back issues, floor type, aesthetic preferences, and budget, and getting the chair that actually fits your life.
Here's the challenge for anyone listening. Next time you're about to buy something, anything, try the spec framework. Record a voice memo with your situation, preferences, exclusions, and constraints. Feed it to your AI of choice. See if the recommendation beats your own research. I suspect you'll be surprised.
If you're feeling ambitious, try it on something you bought before AI and regretted. See what the spec approach would have surfaced instead. It's a good way to calibrate your own spec writing skills.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the high medieval period, Azorean whalers discovered that sperm whale ambergris, a waxy intestinal secretion, could be processed into a fixative that turned otherwise fleeting pigments like Tyrian purple into colorfast dyes. The chemistry involves ambrane, a triterpene alcohol that oxidizes into ambroxide, which binds to fabric fibers and stabilizes organic chromophores against photodegradation for decades.
Right.
I now know more about whale intestinal chemistry than I strictly needed to.
This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by Hilbert Flumingtop. If you got something out of this episode, we'd love a review wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show. Find full transcripts and past episodes at My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. Go write a spec.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.